Our Gospel reading this Easter day morning is St. John's account of the resurrection we've just heard read. We could, according to the lectionary, have actually had the shorter but more dramatic account from Matthew. We have either choice in the lectionary. But I chose this, the reading from John, particularly because it follows on directly from the readings we had on Good Friday evening. Although it doesn't quite, because as certain people pointed out to me, I forgot to read the last bit of the reading at the Good Friday service and didn't have Jesus laid in the tomb. As Karen said to me, people could go home and read that, and that I hope that they did. Whilst there are differences between the Gospel of Matthew account and that in John, and for that matter the accounts of the resurrection in Mark and Luke, one fact remains consistent, that the first resurrection appearance here in John was to Mary Magdalene, a woman, and in the other accounts there's often mention of to Mary and other women with her, two or three of them. Yes, Peter and the one disciple whom Jesus loved see the tomb as being empty, but the first resurrection appearance is to a woman or to women. To 21st century eyes and ears, this may not seem strange. After all, ladies, you are more than 50% of the world's population. You live longer. So what? However, we are talking about first century Jewish society, which was male-dominated and male-orientated. I know I've said this before on Easter Day for those in the regular congregation, but in Jewish law, the evidence of a woman was only valid in a court of law if that evidence could be corroborated by a man. Horribly sexist, but that was actually the reality. And therefore, if you wanted to convince a skeptical first century Jewish lawyer that Jesus rose from the dead, the very last thing is what you would do would be to tell him, oh, we have witnesses to the event, and by the way, they're all female. You just wouldn't do that if you wished to invent the story. If you wanted to invent the story that Jesus rose from the dead, as skeptics and atheists down the centuries argue is what Jesus' followers did, you certainly wouldn't invent his first appearance as being to a woman or to a group of women. And therefore, I draw the straightforward conclusion that the accounts of the resurrection that we have here in John and in the other Gospels are true. What is recorded is what happened. Mary met the risen Jesus and then went and told the disciples, I have seen the Lord. But Jesus only appeared to them that evening. If you read on in John chapter 20, you will find the account. If you come to church here next Sunday or go to church elsewhere where you follow the lectionary, you'll hear it read next Sunday, the second half of the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, as Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room on that first Easter Sunday evening. But yes, the resurrection first appearance was to Mary Magdalene, probably accompanied by other women. I have seen the Lord. Jesus risen from the dead. Today and the next seven Sundays, I think it is, our first reading, according to the lectionary, will be from the Acts of the Apostles, as it was the passage that Karen read to us. The reason for it, well, it's one of the only two books in the New Testament which isn't a gospel or otherwise is a letter, an epistle, the other one, of course, being Revelation. And, of course, we should read from the book of Acts, too. And so, over the next seven Sundays, we always have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. But the reason that it's chosen also is because in describing the first Acts of the Apostles, the early disciples, after the resurrection, we get a series of summaries of their various sermons preached by them. And you'll notice that they preached Jesus and the resurrection. Our first reading that Karen brought to us is Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius. He was the first Gentile convert to Christianity. And note what he preached. "We are witnesses of all that he did," Jesus did, "both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." They preach, Peter preaches, Jesus put to death, but risen again and seen by them. And what a transformation of the disciples. Again, a small number of you who came here on Good Friday evening would have heard me read from the previous two chapters of John. What did the disciples do? They forsook Jesus and fled. Peter, who didn't flee, instead denied knowing Jesus three times. Yet here you have those self-same disciples boldly preaching Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. It led to the rapid growth of the Christian church. Why the change? Because they too had met with the risen Jesus. So on this wonderful sunny Easter day morning here in Prague, I ask you the question, how should the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that we celebrate today impact on our lives here in 21st century Prague, whether you live here or whether you're visiting here over the weekend? Often at Easter, we aren't doing it here, but often at Easter, people have a baptism, which is ideal because you're baptized, you die to sin, and rise to new life. And so to that short passage that Richard read to us from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. If you have been raised with Christ, the picture of rising to new life through baptism, says St. Paul, seek the things which are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. In other words, he challenges the Christians in Colossae and challenges us to identify with Christ in his death and resurrection. And it should produce in each of us a totally different mindset to many around us, a different way of doing and thinking. Now, of course, there is a danger when people think of setting their minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth. How many times have you heard it said of some people that they're so heavenly minded they're no earthly use? Now, there is a danger of that. But Christians are called to have very different values. That's what I think it means by setting our minds on things that are above. And also remembering, of course, in the words of that well-known Negro spiritual, that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And if you were to read on in Colossians chapter 3, and if you want an Easter Day reading, I would encourage you to do so. St. Paul goes on to instruct Christians to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What wonderful values, spiritual values, setting your mind on things that are above. And saying also, and something many people find very hard, forgiving others as Christ has forgiven us. And he finally says to put on love, which binds all together in perfect unity. And in fact, my modern translation of the Bible, which I use for personal reading, has headings for different sections of verses, which are not part of the text but are very helpful. And she heads up the beginning of chapter 3 of Colossians as saying, living as those made alive in Christ. And that is what I think resurrection should do for us. Make us a people who live as those made alive in Christ. So in conclusion this morning, as ever, a sermon with three main points. Celebrate with joy the resurrection of Jesus as we have, his triumph over sin and death. Secondly, like those first disciples or apostles, tell others of Jesus and the resurrection. It's too good to keep to ourselves, so let's share it with others. And thirdly, let us live out Christ's risen life, seeking those things which are above, being a distinctive people with a very different mindset and values to those in the secular world around us. Live as those made alive in Christ. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.